For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast with your host, me, Mitch Anderson, and not Matt O'Leary, but James Nichols, buddy. What's going on?
Same old, same old. What's going on with you?
Oh, well, I said I was going to take a month off the show, right? Because when Matt said he was leaving, I sulked in a little corner for a while, and it's still kind of happening. And then I was like, I'm not going to do the show for a month because I don't know what to do anymore. And then we talked and we're like, let's do the thing. And I was like, all right, we're taking a week off. We were going to probably take a little bit longer, but then something big happened. And we're like, well, might as well get on the mics to at least talk about that briefly. And then everything else that's going on with the Islanders right now.
I couldn't possibly imagine what you're talking about. What happened? Did you hear something?
Lou Lamoriello got new dentures. James, big news, buddy.
By the way, that still shot of him sitting at the NHL draft had me cracking up. It was almost like, yeah, I did what I did. Now here I am at the draft. Somebody say the wrong thing to me. Cross me, I dare you. And I was just like, all right, Lou, take it easy.
Right, and he's doing that like on location in Bridgeport. He's not in the office because he went to the Bridgeport game that was happening later on that day. So he's sitting there in Bridgeport waiting. It's just, yeah. But obviously, the news is shown. We'll talk about it briefly because we spent a whole hour and 12 minutes talking to patrons about this very subject. So if you want our full-on, earnest, almost honest reaction, what happened or what we thought about the Barry Trotz firing or allowing him to leave type of thing, go to Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles, sign up. It's $5 a month. For the summer, there's two shows per week plus a mailbag and a live chat afterwards on Sunday. So you're getting like four shows a week over on the Patreon. So pretty damn well worth it. But let's just immediate thoughts on Barry Trotz, and we'll kind of take that chat and look at what does that mean going forward for the Islanders. So Barry Trotz gone. What say you?
Yeah, so it was interesting too today. I was listening to I don't know if I've ever told you this because this is fairly new for us, but one of my favorite podcast hosts to listen to is Jeff Marek, and he always has really good conversations with like Elliot Friedman and some of the guys over at Sportsnet. And Friedman today was talking about how, you know, as more information rolled in and everything, he had just really gotten this sense that this was maybe more of like a mutual thing. And then there was that narrative going around that it was it had to do with Matthew Barzal. I think Nick Kypreos lit that flame. I commented on it saying that, you know, I had heard not that it was Matthew Barzal making noise about Barry Trotz needing to go, but it was just a general question of like, hey, if the Islanders had to choose between Barzal and Trotz, who would they choose? And the person I spoke to said it would be Matthew Barzal. So it was like those two things together kind of like picked up steam, and people thought that Matthew Barzal wanted Barry Trotz gone. Turns out that that's not the case, and I never thought it was, and a lot of people didn't think it was either. And it was just nice to hear Elliot Friedman confirm that today, because you don't want your franchise star player to be the one that's stirring that drink, right? You don't want him to be that's the source of the reason Barry Trotz moved on. So it was just good clarification, you know, now that the dust has settled and like the initial shock is gone. But moving forward, what does that mean? You know, I was thinking about the trade deadline and what happened there. There was no pickups at the trade deadline. Obviously, they weren't in it. But what did happen instead was an extension for Parise for a year and Clutterbuck for two. And I was thinking about the Clutterbuck for 2 years, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? Those 2 years is probably the window. And the reason why that this happened was because Lamoriello feels like, you know, what, like he said, that there was a need for a new voice. Maybe Barry Trotz lost the room a little bit. So immediately he's looking for a coach that can bring probably a bit of an offensive edge to this team. And I really feel like this is the first major shakeup. And I say shakeup because it's not going to be an overhaul, but the first major shakeup of the summer that will lead to probably two, maybe three more major shakeups. And I'm not talking, I think I said this to you once already, Tyler Kennedy's and Shane Prince's. We're talking big time players who could be coming to the Islanders because Lou is on the hot seat now.
That's right. Like, I think the way that I framed it with the patrons is that he's put all his chips in the middle of the table. Now we got to see his cards, and that's going to be a slow process over the summer. And if we don't like them, if those cards stink, then we're going to have to tell them.
Right.
But we're going to have to see what it is. This isn't like, I trust Lou. He has my trust beforehand, but it's just kind of like, all right, you've clearly said I'm all in on this retool, and it is deeper than I just need to bring in a top line winger and a top 4D. It's now I got to bring in a coach. So you're like, okay, well, let's see them cards, Lou. How do you plan on doing this? But on that comment of like Barzal v. Trotz, I never took it as Barzal himself v. Trotz. I more saw it as the team v. Trotz, because that's what ultimately comes down to when you're Lou. Like, am I going to change the coach or am I going to change the team? Well, you change the coach. It's always a whole lot easier to do that, right?
Right. Right. And the thing, too, here is, like, right, when you put it in terms like that, like, I understand what you're saying. And it's funny because, you know, the more you and I venture into the Twitterverse, like, if we were to say that online, people would be like, wait, the team hated Barry Trotz? No, that's not what happened here. What happened here was that Lamoriello conducted his interviews. He asked what everybody thought went wrong this season, and what it came down to was the players had said along the lines of, you know, maybe my line mates was an issue, or maybe my deployment was an issue, or maybe the style of play that we play was an issue. And nobody said Barry Trotz needs to go, but in Lou Lamoriello's mind, the conclusion he came to, it all boiled down to him, and he said, okay, I think it's time to move on. So nobody wanted this to happen, and it's not like, you know, Lamoriello went back and said to them, does Barry Trotz need to go? It's just the conclusion that Lou Lamoriello came to all on his own. This was a Lou Lamoriello decision. Nobody else forced his hand.
Yeah, and that's how this happens. And this isn't me condoning it. That's not saying, like, I'm glad Barry Trotz is gone, because I'm really not. I'm sure there are people out there, but I am not one of them. But when it comes to this, it's very clear that in those exit interviews, Lou Lamoriello asked his players what they thought went wrong. And they, like you said, didn't say singly Barry Trotz was the problem. It's a lot of factors that, you know, when he put them together, he being Lou Lamoriello, was like, well, it's clear that I've got to change the coach, or at least change the coach's philosophy. And that's Barry Trotz's bread and butter, right? Like, that's like someone coming to me and saying, like, hey, your YouTube channel on Islanders Prospects, can you change that to Princess and Ponies, please? And I'd be like, well, that's not what I do. And they'd be like, well, sorry, that's what they want. And I'm like, well, I guess you're going to have to find someone else. Find a six-year-old that wants to do that. And I think that's what happened. So what next is, like, well, what coach out there will fill all those boxes that the players and Lou thinks need to be filled? And there are a ton of options, but, like, which one fills them the best, right?
Yeah, it's tough, right? A lot of people are pointing the finger at Lane Lambert and saying he's probably the next guy. My initial thoughts on that were, if it was him, it would have happened already. You know, as we heard the announcement that Trotz was out, why not just say Lambert is in? It's, you know, he's already here, so it's not like, you know, he's coming from somewhere else. I feel like it would have happened already, and I don't know how much of a new voice Lambert would be. As far as who would be a good fit, I like Paul Maurice. I think that he has a good style of coaching where the Islanders could get a little bit of an offensive kick in their system while Lane Lambert remains an assistant and keeps that Trotz defense intact while Maurice teaches them a little bit more of an offensive style, and they get a best of both. You know, so I think that that's a good fit right there.
Yeah, big fan of Paul Maurice stepping in. You know who is looking to get clearly in the coaching carousel but will not be is Doug Weight, right? Doug Weight is now joining ESPN. He's clearly putting his name out there to be like, I need to be on the radar. I need to be in front of faces and eyes, and this is his way of doing it. If they want offense, clearly he can give it, and he won't be able to teach defense, so he might as well keep Lane Lambert, but... On the Lane Lambert thing, you're right. I I think he's going to get a shot at it. I just don't think it's going to be the guy. I think Lou's going to do his respectful due diligence and let the guy who's already here interview for the job, but ultimately go with someone else.
Yeah.
And let Lane Lambert probably have his hand at looking at the Detroit gig. He already looked at the Anaheim gig under Lou Lamoriello, so
yeah.
I don't see why not. And also, I think the Colorado gig, no, that wasn't under Lou at least, but I know he interviewed for that one too.
Yeah, yeah. He's bound to get one at some point, but it's really not, it's not Lamoriello's style to give somebody with no NHL head coaching experience the job, especially in the situation that we're in right now where, like I said earlier, Lamoriello's on the hot seat and he needs somebody to come in who he knows is going to bring this team back to the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So the hot seat is like he's not in a retool and trying to trend upwards type of thing. It's a retool to get to the cup, get to the finals, right? And so falling short of that is going to, I assume, cost him his job. Anything is shy of getting to the finals and maybe even winning a cup, but like I think that's just too steep of a line because anything can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
He's got to build a team by getting a coach, that winger, that defenseman, and galvanizing that system together to get a winning record, to get to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a whole lot for him to do, and it starts with that coach.
Yeah.
There are a whole ton of names out there. It's just, which one does he settle on? It's not going to be John Tortorella, like I've seen some people panic about. It just that doesn't make any sense in terms of style, but it's going to be an interesting summer to see who he goes with a coach now.
Yeah, and you know it's funny because you wouldn't think that this would be a name that comes up, but I only say this name because I've heard the you know the Friedmans and the Mareks and you know the big guys mention. Do they call Joel Quenneville? A lot would need to happen for the Islanders to hire him, morale wise. You know, a lot of statements would need to be made, and a lot of receipts would need to be shown that Quenneville's a changed person. But as far as coaches who have a better resume than Barry Trotz, well, Joel Quenneville, he has the wins, he has the cups. If they can, I don't know, show that he's a changed man. I'm not personally a fan of that. I don't know how much he could have changed between when he was forced basically to step down and now. But if they do end up going with him just on the side of winning, he does have that pedigree.
Yeah, I guess if you were just looking at the winning, you're going, wow, he does a lot of that. But there's more to it than that, obviously. And so there's going to be a whole lot of reckoning that needs to happen before he can step in. I don't think we're there. I don't want to see him back there. I think that ship has sailed. He's the second winningest coach in NHL history. Just like, you're good, bud. You're good. But it's clear he wants to come back, and this would be a gig for him, I guess. But I don't want to see it happen. But unless, like, some wild thing happened and, like, Kyle Beach is like, you know what? Like, I believe Joel has come out and been a better person than he was going into it type of thing. And not I forgive, because I don't think he could ever do that. And I wouldn't blame him if he doesn't. But like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, a whole lot that needs to happen there. But you're right. That's certainly a name that's out there. And it's been out there for not even just the Islanders, but around. Like, since May 1st, I've been hearing that name.
Yeah. Real quick, some sort of breaking. It's not news, but it's a good troll job here. Tonight at the UBS Arena is the first ever AEW event in the stadium. And CM Punk came out in a jersey. And can you guess who he's wearing?
Is it Trotz?
Oh, no.
I don't know who he's wearing.
He's wearing a New York Islanders John Tavares jersey.
Oh, wow. Full
what a troll job by CM Punk, huh?
Unbelievable. You see the wall behind me with all the jerseys signed?
Yeah.
I have a Tavares jersey signed. It's not up. It used to be on a big old frame jersey. It's in a box in my closet. I'm not getting rid of it because it's going to be worth something sometime, but
sure.
I'm not advertising it. I've got Guy Lafleur. I got Tomáš Plekanec over on this side.
Yeah, I see that.
Do mirror image. And I'd rather have Tomáš Plekanec out there than John Tavares in an Islander jersey. Thank you very much.
Unreal.
Wow. So changing gear, because we've talked about Trotz. We talked about what's going to go forward specifically when it comes to coaching, which is going to be the next big thing for them. I guess from there, the next big ticket item that happened in the world of hockey is the NHL draft lottery.
Yeah.
And nothing really happened for the Islanders, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, so they had a 2% chance to move up. They didn't. They remain at 13, surprisingly. And yet again, the Devils move up. They're second overall. We all expected the Montreal Canadiens to win, and they did. They have the right to choose in their own town. You see what I did there? Shane, yep. Right?
I didn't. Honestly, I had no idea.
But yeah, so it looks like Shane Wright is going to be a Montreal Canadian. I wonder about pick number 13. You know, I wrote a brief article last night after the pick, just highlighting some players that I saw across a few draft rankings. In like the, I went from the range of 10, pick number 10 mm-hmm. to pick 18, and the players I threw in the mix were anywhere in that range. And you know, if they do opt to make this pick, I would assume it's going to be a forward, preferably a winger, because they really lack forward, I guess, high end talent in the yep. pipeline. It's really Ratu, and you could say Holmstrom. He's taken steps. This is more your field here. But if they don't use that pick, and I feel like that's more likely, it's going to be moved. And I was talking to somebody last night through the fourth period, and I got the text saying, Kevin Fiala, anybody? And I was like, yeah, I mean, the Minnesota Wild are going to have some cap issues coming up real soon, and they might not be able to afford him. I will take a 40-goal scorer like Kevin Fiala at 25 years old next to Matt Barzal.
Yeah, so, okay, let's pause on that point specifically, because that kind of ties into what we were talking about with the first one, with the, you know, showing the cards over the summer.
Yeah.
Everyone's attention's obviously on Philip Forsberg or sure. Johnny Gaudreau, because they're UFAs. Phil Forsberg takes that extra long lap with Nashville, and everyone's like, oh, boy, he's leaving. I don't know about that, but when you've got a 25-year-old who is having a hell of a year playing next to Kirill Kaprizov, right? Because he's got, what, 84 points on the year? 42 goals, 42
something like
helpers?
That, yeah.
Big year from Kevin Fiala. But when you look at Minnesota's cap, my God, like anything above $7 million, they can't afford this kid.
Yeah, and they have those buyouts coming into play with Suter and Zach Parise. So, you know, that's the thing. They're going to be in a bit of a cap crunch as soon as this offseason, and you wonder if they can make it work with Kevin Fiala.
So that's going to be difficult for them to make it work, and that fits for someone like Barzal. You got Kevin Fiala, who plays off the rush, great up and down, really good score, and you slot him next to Matthew Barzal. He's a year older, but he's not like ancient, right? We're not getting Zdeno Chara old. We're getting just a little bit older than Matthew Barzal. Right. That's perfectly fine for our average age.
Yeah.
That works. So you're working that 13th overall pick going to Minnesota to kind of like work that deal our way, right?
Yeah. I think you're going to have to dangle that pick, especially because of how many contracts the Islanders have, right? They don't have a ton of room to sign a ton of free agents, and you're not really guaranteed anybody's going to make it to free agency. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants Gaudreau. Everybody wants Forsberg to make it there, but just as much as we want them to make it there, I'm sure Nashville and Calgary each want those guys back. So if those two don't make it, then you're kind of left sitting on your hands, and you have to make a trade. And there's a ton of value on the day of the draft for a first round draft pick. And if there's a guy sitting there that a team really wants, you could very well see Gary Bettman come to the post and say, we have a trade to announce. I don't know how much sense it makes to trade one of the guys on the roster who have a decent cap hit to Minnesota in this trade, because it's going to take more than just the 13th overall, right? They're going to want something in addition to. If you're not trading a prospect and you're trading a player on the roster, Beauvillier might not work because his 4.15 cap hit, something around there, might be too pricey, and so would Josh Bailey's. So now you're kind of sitting in the, do you trade Oliver Wahlstrom in that pick for Kevin Fiala?
Probably,
right?
I would absolutely think about it, 100%. Because, like, what has Wally done at the end of the year, right? Like, didn't really stand out. Maybe you could blame Trotz for that, but you're going, if I'm getting a guy who he might, or giving away a guy, I should say, who might score 30 for a guy who I know can score 40, that seems like a no-brainer to me. I understand the promise of Oliver Wallstrom and the potential's there, but we have a known quantity in Kevin Fiala versus an unknown quantity in Oliver Wallstrom. You're trading a lot, but that's what gives that trade value for at least Minnesota, going like, we're giving you something here, right? And so it might not work out for them, right? Minnesota might get him back and it does not work, but it might as well. So you put him next to Kaprizov and maybe that works. It's just, I understand anyone who's hesitant to make that trade, but I would absolutely think about it 100%. I'd probably even, like, I think maybe 75-25, I'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to that, Lynn, we get back to the draft, and you're looking at some of the players available, and there's no one that's the problem with this pick, is that with any pick really in this draft, there's no one that the Islanders could pick that would change the direction of this franchise, or that would help change the direction of this franchise today.
Yeah.
Which is where they're at. It's all great that we might select, I don't know, a Connor Geeky or a Cutter Goetze or a Pavel Minchukov. Cool. Those are all great prospects in 2 to 3 years from now.
Exactly.
That doesn't help anyone right now.
Right. And that's the point, right? You know, that's the reason why it seems and feels pretty likely that that 13th pick will be selected by somebody else. And you know, the 2 year window that we spoke about doesn't match up with a player who they're going to draft who will be on the roster in 2 years, because at that point, now you're in rebuild mode. So you might as well sell off the pick now, because yes, the prospect pipeline is thin. It's not that great, sure, but it at the same time, the goal is that everybody wants to come back next season and win. So do you want to draft a guy and win at the same time? Of course, but it just doesn't work like that always. So with the assets the Islanders have right now, this is one of the more valuable ones, and they're probably going to need to use it if they're going to get either that forward or defenseman that everybody wants.
Well, and that's it, right? Like, it really comes down, I understand, like, you want a good prospect pool and you want to win, but that doesn't happen very often. Very few teams are able to do that. Just look at the draft rankings last year. The better teams are at the bottom, just because by virtue of where they finish, they end up picking last, at least in the first round. And they also end up trading those picks in the first round, that is. So, like, they're not even making selections half the time.
Right.
So it doesn't really make any sense. Like, we're going to have to hold on to it because, like, we got to get the prospect pool going. No, like, there's nothing really else, like you're saying, of value within this franchise to move something to get something. You got to give to get, and the only thing the Islanders have to give is that pick, Aaltonen, and Oliver Wallstrom or Noah Dobson.
Maybe DeFore, right? Maybe Holmstrom, sure. if someone's biting on, if someone's liking what they see in the A or in the Q right now, but it seems unlikely.
Exactly. If we're looking at, like, NHL mode, and I know everyone's like, oh, you can't do trades by NHL mode. I just like how they structure things where you can see that value fader.
Yeah.
So I'm going to borrow that. When you look at the value fader for the assets on the Islanders that aren't on the playing roster, that 13th overall pick is right at the top. It's not even close. Even Aaltonen is, like, I would say 60% through, whereas this 13th overall is probably at 80% through the fader. Like, that's a big, big gulf in terms of value. And I love Aaltonen.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. It's definitely, you know, there's questions about Aturatu still, because, you know, he fell in the draft. He was a second-round pick, 52nd overall. He got passed over by, I believe, at least 20-something teams twice. So the 13th overall pick, he probably has less question marks, and whoever that's going to be might have a higher ceiling. We definitely have value in that pick, the Islanders definitely have value in that pick. If they want to acquire somebody who's going to impact the roster for next season, the best course for it is to trade it.
Yeah, it really is. That's going to be the best course of action, is to trade it. Unless they just can't get value, right? I can see them going to the draft floor and no one's giving them what they want. Like, well, we'll take the pick and then eventually trade the player themselves.
Sure.
At the height of their value, obviously. But, like, that could very well happen. But when it comes to retooling this, the window is from now until July 7th, I believe, is the draft. July 7th. So the Islanders have that amount of time to move that pick to someone who could use it more than we can.
Right.
So, but when it comes to the rest of the Islanders kind of like talking points, there's nothing else really going on this week because everyone's just kind of sitting down and waiting for these playoffs to be over, right?
Yeah, the New York Rangers right now are down 2-1 against Pittsburgh Penguins, facing elimination. And actually, two nights ago, as you're hearing this, the Bridgeport Islanders actually dropped a heartbreaker in was it in Carolina? It was, no. Right?
It was in Bridgeport.
It was in Bridgeport?
It's weird. The first two games are in Bridgeport. The final three, if necessary, are in Charlotte.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so a heartbreaker there in Bridgeport. They were up 2-0. They wound up losing 3-2. But yeah, I mean, as far as Islanders talk right now, all there was really Barry Trotz and the draft. You know, we'll see if anything trickles down the pipeline. I guess we could touch on the Mitch Korn talk real quick. Sure. Andrew Gross did say yesterday that he felt, or he had been hearing, that it was possible Mitch Korn was going to be moving on, and it was quote unquote unrelated to Trotz's firing. Whether that's true or not, we'll never know. But I will say there were a lot of people that were worried about that. You know, that this was a trickle down effect. And I do want to mention that although, you know, nobody wants to lose Mitch Korn, right? However, you look at, you know, Robin Lehner, and he was really outspoken about how impactful Piero Greco was. And it's the belief is that he is staying. And Piero Greco will likely remain in his role and continue to help the development of Ilya Sorokin and anybody in the Islanders goaltending system. So although Korn is going to be, yeah, an obvious loss that you don't want to have, things won't change that much with Piero Greco staying intact.
True. P.S. It's now 3-2 for the Rangers.
Oh, boy.
Wow, right?
That was fast.
Yeah. But that's a good point. I was one of those. I said, oh, my God, it's all unraveling. You've got the director of goaltending saying, like, I'm going to dip. And that's fine. It is what it is. Mitch Korn is the head of this organization in terms of the goaltending strength. You do have Piero Greco, who does the day-to-day stuff, the on-ice stuff. Mitch Korn goes out every now and again, but he's not traveling with them goalies. He's not like the classic goalie coach, because a goaltending director or director of goaltending is something new in the entire like NHL. It usually is just that guy who's going game to game following these guys and on the ice with them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I don't imagine they get rid of that position. Like, why open it and then just get rid of it all of a sudden?
Right, yeah.
But seeing him leave would be weird, but you're right. Piero Greco is still the guy who's out there working the day-to-day, so maybe we don't have to be too worried about, you know, bringing him some random goalie and getting him to Vezina caliber at some point.
Right, right. Real quick, it's hysterical as this is unraveling, but the Penguins just tied at 3-3. 4 goals in 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
That's insane. Oh,
isn't
my
it?
God. Hockey,
isn't
but
it?
Hockey, right? Like, puck, don't lie. Just all over the place, up and down. This is... Oh, I wish we were watching that, huh?
I said it earlier. Jake Guentzel, that's his second goal of the game, the tying goal there. He's quietly one of the better, if not one of the most underrated goal scorers in the NHL. He had 40 goals this year. Did you hear his name once?
Nope, not at all. It's all about Sidney Crosby, right?
Yeah, so he's quietly one of the best pure goal scorers in the league. Second time in his career that he scored 40 goals.
And the Islanders are like, no, we're going to take Tyler Camarato or something like that. Camarato,
yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of him. Lulz.
Yeah.
But on that, I guess we can sign off. We've done a good first one. Like, we may not have flushed out the entire way we're going to structure this podcast, but it's podcast number one, people.
Podcast number one.
Like, think of going to a bar with someone that you've never gone to a bar with before, and then, like, hope we hit it off right away and that everyone enjoys it. It would be weird to hit it off right away all the time.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like you said, we had some really good in-depth conversations on the Patreon. So if you're interested in more content like this, head over to the Patreon, hit that sub button. We got a lot of good things coming with the Patreon. So we hope you join us.
Absolutely. So it's patreon.com/eyesonisle. Subscribe $5 a month. Again, 4 pods. Essentially, the last fourth one is really just a chat on the Discord channel, but we sit there for an hour. That's 4. You get 4 chats with us for every week throughout the summer. Think about that, people. Throughout the summer. So
it's going to be a long one.
Exactly.
Longer than anyone you've seen in the past couple of years. So why not hang out with us? Kick it in our Discord, and we can have some good talk about the Islanders all summer long.
Yeah, so you and 118 other crazy Islanders fans get in on that. Make sure to go to the website, that's eyesonisles.com. Click on them articles, read them, feedback too. On Twitter, you can reach us. My Twitter handle is at TLO Mitch. James is at James Nichols, NYI. Am I missing anything else? We've got a Facebook account, but we just repost things that you're probably seeing on Twitter anyways. And I think that's all the places that you can get us. Yep, I'm not used to doing these plugs. Matt always did them for 5 years, and so
well, you're doing, one. You're doing swell.
Thanks, buddy. So that's us signing off to this Eyes on Isles podcast episode. I don't know, 246, I think it is. But thank you, everyone, and we'll catch you next week. Boom. Tidy 30 minutes and 20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.